Blog Talk.
Here we go. And an even fighting live via satellite, a video technique presentation worldwide. Ali and a
when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one, there are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that the moon somewhere to make a change. It's all a part of God's crazy family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
And their life will be stronger and free. As God has shown us, fire burning stones of bread. And so we all must lend a helping hand. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day.
This is called Ancestors Night. Happy birthday to Muhammad Ali, the world's greatest. When Muhammad Ali was in Africa fighting Joe Frazier, I'm playing a little of that. We honored in Muhammad Ali. Happy birthday to him. He came out and said, I'm the greatest. And we got to also talk about black leaders. And I want to say to you tonight, those that called in, Muhammad Ali was the one greatest. He learned men just when he was boxing over Zaire. I looked at his own where he knocked the man out of Africa. First day ever had. And I was paying a little left for you. But if you don't know, this is Muhammad Ali's birthday. I want to say happy birthday to a great man, a great statesman around the world, known around the world. And I just want to say that this was a man that started in the Caribbean. Say, I'm the greatest. Muhammad Ali. And he was saying, the African was saying, Muhammad Ali. And this is a fight. This is round six, you know, I'm playing it. I'm going to have something with Muhammad talking a little bit. I'm going to share that with y'all because somebody just gets that have paved the way for us. Muhammad Ali has paved the way for us. This is Bishop Kennedy today. And I want to thank Muhammad Ali's spirit back, the spirit of fight. You know, he refused to go to the army. He's not going to fight them folks of my color. And I can't get a hamburger here in St. Louis and in Chicago. And I just want to say that we honor Muhammad Ali. And I just want to put that in your spirit tonight. Whatever you fight, his word that I'm the God of in the world. And I want you to know that tonight. And I was late coming on the show because I was watching the fighting. And they had said that Muhammad Ali was going to lose. One of the greatest fighters that we ever had. Joe Louis was great, but Muhammad Ali was more greater than Joe Louis. And for young folks, and even I was, some of you don't know, I'm glad that I met Muhammad Ali in Chicago. Met him on 35th Street. He was there, and he said, Bishop, I'm the greatest. I looked at him, I said, he's big. I said, looked at him, I said, yeah, you're great. And I got a chance to meet Muhammad Ali, and I had a chance to meet Malcolm X, and I marched with Dr. King. So that's it. And I'm looking now, you know, when he said he was the greatest, he was the greatest fighter that we ever had. And what I'm saying about that, and he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. They talked about him, but he know what he was doing, where he was. So this is the sixth round of that fight. And some of you can pull it up on your YouTube and see. I think this one is, and it was because he did it over in Africa. Now, ain't no black men fought in Africa. He wouldn't fight that. He was going to fight in Africa. And, you know, they was going to put him in prison, you know, because he was going to the army. He said, I'm not going over there and fight people my color. I ain't did nothing to me. I know nothing about them. So tonight, I salute Muhammad Ali. Ali, I want to salute him. But his spirit of being great have made a lot of people be great in education, football, basketball, great. And I just want to say, you know, the guy, the Buffalo guy, fell dead on the field. But when the people kneeled and prayed, I ain't kind of woke him back up. Talking to Dr. Coleman about that. He was saying, yeah, Bishop, that happened. So I want you to know tonight, we honor, you know, some of you don't know that they his birthday because we keep up with his birthday. But I think Muhammad Ali was one of the greatest men that in our history that showed that I'm the greatest. People can say they was great, you know, but he said, and they laughed at him, I'm going to be great. He could call the fight. I'm going to get him in the fifth round, the sixth round. And he did it. So, and you know, like it be all that talk, but he backed it up. So happy birthday to Muhammad Ali. Happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you that's listening tonight. I'm going to say all is well. I'm going to tell you, reach out and get what you want. And I want to tell you, sometimes you have to be great in what you're doing. You've got things that everybody can serve. And he served with his fist. He fought, and they couldn't deny him. They took his title. He come back in Africa. This is the seventh round. I'm going to end the seventh round. I think he's knocked the man out in the seventh round. But I just want to say that tonight, that he's the ancestor now, and his spirit is, I'm the greatest. So whatever you're doing, school teacher, police, my father, whatever you're doing, be great at it. Be the best at it. Let your children know you can be the best. God bless you tonight. This is Big Son coming to you, crossing over with the ancestors. And I want to tell you, sometimes the ancestors will come and tell you something. Sometimes you have to take from somebody else what's going on tonight. Lady asked to call me, so what you going to do tonight? So I'm reaching out for Muhammad Ali, the world's greatest boxer, black man, okay? So what I'm saying, you might not thought that was, but that was important for our young folks. To see somebody shine, I'm great in my education. I'm great playing basketball, football, and being great, things happen for you being great. Now, I want to just say that to you tonight. All is well. You open up every door. And happy birthday to a great man. And I want to let you know, we have people, and we have to let them know that these people are great in their field. I'm praying for you and you tonight, and I want to tell you, it's great to be prayed, and Muhammad Ali was great. Happy birthday in the spirit realm of Muhammad Ali. Happy birthday to him. He was over in Zaire fighting, and he won the fight. Now, you can say what you want to about him. He told the governor, I'm going to fight there in a walk. Something did nothing to me. I'm not going. And Dr. King did the same thing. Dr. King stopped the war in Vietnam. We just honored Dr. King's birthday. He was 94 years old, and last night it was like he was in my room talking when I had him on. He taught important to know that we got people that what's going on. I want to tell you tonight. I'm like tonight, since this couple of dance tonight, everyone, I'm going to give you prophet. Be your prophet. All, first I want to say all is well. You accept the prophet, but you don't accept it. I'm going to give it like, give it to me. I'll give it to you. And accept what I want to give it to you, well, you can accept it, and it'll work. That'll work for you. Now, I got one of my other words being interviewed. I'm going to play him in a minute. But before I do that, I want to tell you all this way. I want to thank Dr. Coleman. Preached last night. Preached out here last night. Song and preach. So that was good. So, and Dr. Coleman, he needs to pass the mouth on our Dr. Church, he somehow told him, you can't retire from God. That I'm retired. You can't retire. You got to work this thing till you die. Hello. Only God give you a gift. You got to somebody to hear you. Somebody to see you. Somebody need. We salute Muhammad Ali tonight. A boy that came from St. Louis. And worked his way all the way up to be the world greatest. Let me say it again, the world greatest. People, some black people have a problem saying great. And I feel that he was great in what he did. He was great in what he said. So I know he was a great man. So I just want you to know, even in death, the spirit of the ancestor always gives a lead out, carries to another level. Even you. I want to tell you, Sister Pearl, God bless you. Glad that you're on tonight. I haven't heard from you, but I'm going to ask Pearl always give me information. I'm going to ask Pearl what she think about Muhammad Ali. Some of you, one lady type say he was the greatest. I had a chance on 35th in Chicago. And he was a reverend man, but he said, I'm the greatest. And I could with him. I had a friend and was in Detroit, Bobby. Bobby said he inspired Lewis. And he said, Joe Lewis hit himself here and Joe Lewis, but I said, I'm Muhammad Ali. And he was great then, he still. And I want to tell you tonight, God is a healer. Somebody need a breakthrough tonight, and the breakthrough coming quick, fast, and in a hurry. And when it comes, the door will open up for you. I want to tell you, the one that's a breakthrough next time. Pearl, God bless you tonight. I haven't heard from you. I hope you woke tonight. What do you think about Muhammad Ali?
I think he was a I think he was a good boxer, and he held his title until.
You think he's a good man?
Pardon me, I can't hardly hear because your voice is breaking up.
I said, do you think Muhammad was great in his boxing?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
When he was fighting, yes, he was. Yes, he was.
I just wanted to know that. See, they got in Detroit right now. They got a block fit downtown Detroit of Joe Louis. So, have you seen that person fit downtown?
Yes, I have saw it.
They were so racist. Some of the white radicals painted it white. They had to go redo it. But it just sort of showed you some of the hate that's going on. Dr. King said that the hate still going on in our country, but we can overcome it. Paul, I want you to reach out as a breakthrough for you going into this year. That would be a good one for you. And that be good to you. And some of you, I want all of you to read going into the new month, Psalms 119, east, west, north, and south, where you can I say your ancestors, where things can work for you. And it'll open up. I want to hear a little bit directly from Muhammad Ali when he was being interviewed. I'm going to hear from him.
So what I'm trying to say, if I can save us about $2 million, which is about how many times? Almost a million. If I can save us £1 million, then I can relax, go to sleep, retire, and don't have to worry about my children. Because this is a hard world. Don't nobody give you nothing. You have to work for it. Right?
Right.
So I'm blessed to be able to beat up everybody. So I want to beat up everybody until I can't beat them no more. If I can go 10 more years, I'm going to keep on doing it.
Most of your poems, like the one you spoke a few moments ago, are funny. But you've written one about your own people, I think, at the time of the Athens prison riot. It's a serious poem. You have certainly very serious moments, as you've shown us tonight. Could you, before we go, just say that poem for us?
Well, this poem is explains Attica prison. You heard that over here? All the black prisoners were shot. And just before, they held some white hostages. They said they were cut throats if they didn't get what they wanted. And the word was, well, if the throats were cut, then shoot and kill everybody. They found out during the autopsy that the throats were not cut. They just shot them for nothing. The trigger had policemen. And that Rockefeller gave word 10 minutes or so, if they don't give up, think it's with open fire. And one black prisoner came out to speak to the warden and said, you have 10 minutes to surrender. What's your reply? We're going to come and shoot you. The black prisoner came out where they called. This didn't happen. He said, better far from all I see to die fighting to be free. What more fitting in to be? Better surely than some dead who came broken and held on head. Mingle and come in, better than with prayers and pleas, are in the clutch of some disease, wasting slowly by degrees. Better than a heart attack, are some dose of drugs I lack, let me die by being black. Better far that I should go, standing here against the foe, is the sweeter to know. Better than the bloody stain on somebody where I'm laying, torn by flying glad pain. Better call and death come than to die another dumb victim in the flow. Better than a prison lot, if there's any choice I've got, kill me here on the spot. Now my fight to wage, now while my blood boils. Better now that I say my suit, I'm gonna die demanding truth while I'm still. Better later on, now the fear of death is gone, never mind another dawn. Brrrr, they open fire.
tonight we have as a guest in the studio a man of whom Time magazine once wrote, "He is Hercules struggling through the 12 labors. He is Jason, Shade, and Fleece. He is Galahad, Duran, D'Artagnan. When he scowls, strong men shudder, and when he smiles, women swoon. The gifts of the universe are his toys. He wrestles with a lot of people today, and he's going to lose some more of the forest. There's no man in the world whose name is more synonymous for today. He says he's the great. He is, I'm certainly not going to argue about that. And he says he's the prettiest. Ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome, please, Muhammad Ali." Well, do you think he is the prettiest? I wonder. Muhammad, you certainly look fit. Have you been training very hard?
Yes, I've been working constantly. I've had time to preparation fighting every other month or two. And I just boxed Jerry Quarry, a top-notch fighter. I was in good shape for him. I fought him the first time. He was troubled. And the second time, the rest was off. He was troubled the first time because that was my first fight in a four-year layoff. So I'm ready now. I'm still active. Just need to wipe a little dust off of the system for the fight. I sit down a few days of rest. And I'm ready now.
It's a good fight.
But yes, I think every contender should get a shot at the title. The new champ, Phil Frazier. He's not doing it, but he's fighting once every 7 months. Fight. You can't fight, so I have to keep the game alive because I'm the true champion. Well, I'm fighting Lewis for one reason. Because Frazier was fighting. George Fulmer, top-notch fighter, was fighting. Jerry Carter was fighting. And with most boxers and managers, this is just the business. And they got a top contender. And barely on top, they don't know if they can lose unless they're paid great. Top notch fighters fighting Lewis Harris. He's the top pick of my famous, but yet he's got a chance to beat him, and they have nothing to gain with everything to lose. So I'm fighting because everybody's talking to me. He is a fighter. Plus, he's my heart to bring a top notch hot race of the price can be put up.
What sort of
champs
does he have?
Two champs.
What are they?
Slim and
Nunn. I suppose I am for that one. Angelo Dundee is just having to play since you hope to go to fight in Tehran in about 3 weeks' time.
I ran in Tehran. Yep, we're going to government working on it now.
So your big fight, really, I suppose, is with
Patterson, right? Rabbit.
Rabbit?
I call him the Rabbit.
Why is that?
Oh, the way he fights. And all week late, named them Muhammad Ali, he's still just come play, so I call him the Rabbit. Once I'm gonna fight the Rabbit in the garden.
Madison Square Garden, of course. You then go on to fight Frazier, I gather.
Yes, if he comes out of the plantation down in South Carolina, from the chicken plantation. I know he's a slave, but he don't have to buy a plantation. But,
what do you really speak about?
Well, he's a good slugger, not scientifically rough. Physically, I know I beat him. I won 9 rounds. He's already ugly, and I beat him so bad that night. I beat him so bad, and he was so ugly. That fight, his face should have been donated to the Bureau of Wildlife.
You know, he toured here with us.
I heard he flopped like he do everywhere else. He got a thing in boot called the knockout. He thought because they gave him my title, he could go everywhere and draw people. something and get rich. And I understand he draws 80 people, maybe 1,000 people in the 20,000 seat arena. In London, in a 4,000 seat arena, he drew 12 people.
But he didn't
have the nerve to show.
He did a little better here. He got set for the quarter, actually, and I think 1,041.
I knew I could beat him face, but I don't call him face. I can clear and fill every place. People will check.
But you have been singing, too. I mean, you had a show called Buck White.
Yes, I was in a play called Big Time Buck White. Black Militant play of problems that we have in America. The play was a flop, but I was a hit. I lasted, the play lasted 6 days. The worst critic, my part was a hit. I want to get that straight.
Why is it, do you think, that you draw the crowd of all the sports in the world?
Mainly personality. We've got a lot to do with it. Personality, like a salesman, business depends entirely on his personality. He's rude and unsympathetic, and the vow will hopefully go away and never come back. But very often, if a salesman is good, he can make it come back. And stay with doctors, the best of doctors. He might have many patients and give them all the medicine he wants. Personality is not really right. And, like, his medicine won't make him feel that good. His personality will make him feel worse. Very often, a wise doctor can cure a person with word of mouth alone because they realize power is magic. A doctor, a lawyer, can dishearten a client on one visit if you don't have a personality of victory. Like George, for an example, he's a champion. Number one, he don't have a book. He can't talk. Very few boxers can get on this show as a match with a wise man like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which was all I want to match with you.
And very few fighters, if you take the camera on, because you see my nose and my face, I'm not ugly. I'm not ugly like most fighters. They don't like that. Here's a lot. How do you feel, champ? I'm a pretty fighter. And like, I can, you know, I have a personality. I know how to talk to the wise ears. I have to talk to the great Mr. Lynch here in the house. I knew how to talk to the men like you, best intelligence than myself. Just listen to the people laugh. Just listen to the people laugh. Just listen to them laugh. Very few comedians can miss their job. So like I'm saying, it's personality that people of all religions, like in America, I stand up for black people, and regardless of what it costs me, I believe, like you got people in Ireland fighting for what they believe. I represent this. Also, the draft was something for my religion, I guess, and this made it popular with many people. Then you got separation, such as I believe one day the black people in America must go to self clean up, help them. Then you got all the Muslims and Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Syria, Lebanon, India, all throughout Kuwait, Abu Dhabi, all throughout Libya, they all represent Muhammad Ali. And yet all of this stuff, all I represent them, I confident. I am the greatest. I cannot lose. I'm pretty. Every man believes he's the greatest. Every man would like to be the greatest. Many want to say this in spirit, and they see this in themselves and some of the party, some of the party. So add it all up, and we have a large crowd. Why Joe Frazier's a sucker, he can't talk, he can't sing, he can't fight. Don't put him out. No, he's a slugger, street fighter. Why is Joe Frazier's not thinking at all? Joe Frazier's good with respect, not skillful. Joe Frazier's known for taking a lot of punches. He's not like Floyd Patterson, if they should have robbed him. Johnson, Jack Dempsey, he's a great scientific boxer. Joe Frazier takes 5 punches to hit you. Well, the reason that he got the decision, if you looked at my face and his face after the fight, both eyes were closed, nose and blood is still swollen. Then 1 month in the hospital, did you all hear?
Yeah.
He spent days of intensive care, no phone calls, no visits. That's a terrible beating when you have to stay rest for 30 days. But he got the decision. But I'm not complaining. Next time I'll get it. I played too much with him. By the time I was bucking the draft system on the surface, and I found out the three of the judges was on the local draft board.
We'll come back to that if we can in just a moment. people to go right to the beginning of your career. What made you take up boxing as a child?
Well, at 12 years old, I went to my bicycle. Went to a whole lot of play cards and frigidaires and households and temples and everything. And I was on the bicycle outside and came out in the drizzly rain that night, Saturday evening, by 9 o'clock. The bicycle was just got it for Christmas. Somebody asked me, where's the police officer? They said, in the basement, the same building that I just came out. Someone named Joe Martin was training to take out the rooms on his side. And he had to take out applications. Learn how to fight, start to beat each other up in joking fashion. Just go with basketball.
So
I started boxing.
This led you on eventually to the Olympics. Was this your goal as a child and as a young man? You mean that the best thing to do was to be an Olympic champion?
I knew that about Olympics. I thought, Tomorrow's Champion, every week in Saturday in Louisville, Kentucky, with a show called Tomorrow's Champion. And you've heard of the Kentucky Derby, that's where anyway, just to get local television, I found out how good I was. Kept on fighting. People say I'm from Cleveland. They must have pity on me. It's hard to be humble in your street.
Muhammad Ali.
The National AAU and the Olympics. And then after the Olympics, they had all the gold medals, no money.
Yeah.
So I turned professional.
You told a story on one occasion about coming back from the Olympics with the medal to your own hometown. Did this make you a very big man in your own hometown?
Well, you know, like, it made me popular for 2 days, but I wanted to do something good with it. Come down. At the time, black people was marching to eat in white restaurants, and they wanted rights to go where they wanted to. And so I said, I'll take this lesson, and I'll go downtown. I'll sit down in a restaurant, and I'll order something to eat. Look down, have a long enough. I said, I'd like a cheeseburger. He said, you don't serve me. I said, I don't eat it either. Give me a cheeseburger.
How was it, Muhammad, anyway, to be a Negro boy in the South?
You say black.
Oh, I'm black. All right. All right. Is that the same thing?
No, Negro. We have talked about all people named after countries. Chinese are named after China. Cubans are named after Cuba. Irish people are named after Ireland. Indonesians are named after Indonesia. Japanese are named after Japan. Australians are named after Australia. But there's no country named Negro.
All right. What I really mean is, did you feel that you were deprived, that you and your family and other blacks were affected?
I don't know about add up all the nationalities you have on earth and they come first. Like right now you can come to my town, you're more clear than that. You're a Chinese, Japanese, black people help Americans fight. Or even the Germans. A day after the war in Vietnam, Viet Cong will be more citizen than Berlin. So we might be
this is something you feel very strong.
Strong. I'm
the truth.
Live right there every day.
Well, what is the Chinese Islam person?
Most of the religion?
Yes.
The true teachings of Elijah Muhammad, right there in America, and the power structure, nobody will challenge him. And the history of ourselves, the history of our true religion, our nationality, our names. We don't have our names. I know how proud you all are. Proud of your name. The Chinese have names like Chang Chong, Lu Qian, this is his mother teacher. Russians have names like Kosikin or Khrushchev. They have names like O'Connor or Grady or Kennedy. And Africans have names like Lumumba and Okuma. Jews have names like Weinstein, Goldberg. And Italians have names like Dundee and Vizutti he had names like Great Clint.
These are the slave names.
Yeah, but when I heard this, no truth. This Muhammad Ali is a beautiful black name of my ancestors. So when I heard this, I walk out of the church. They never taught about 2 miles. Then they told me how we brainwashed in America. You see Jesus, he's white with blonde hair and blue eyes. We love up all white people. We see the angels in heaven, all white people. We look at Miss Universe, a white woman, Miss America, a white woman, Miss World, a white woman, even Cosmo, the king of the jungles in Africa, he was white.
Oh, oh, oh.
He's white.
Oh,
a white man swinging in Africa. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh. He called him to break the rock, y'all, and the Africa for centuries. But he can't yet talk to the animals. But Tarzan, all of us, some go raise him up. He can talk to the animals. So I'm just showing you how black men in America, and then we look at the White Horses, and the president living in the White House. We got TV commercials, White House cigars, white swan soap, king white soap, white cloth tissue paper, white rain hair is, white tornado floor wax, white blood. He's the president of the White House, and the angel food cake was the white cake. The devil fruit cake was the chocolate cake. Everything good was white. And when I heard this, I said, boy, this is the truth. So our religion teaches us the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of our culture, the knowledge that makes us be with our own, marry our own, clean up ourselves, do for self, quit forcing ourselves in white neighborhoods, our own neighborhoods, makes us proud, makes us identify with our own brothers. And after I heard this, being an intelligent man, and, like, I'm not only a winner in boxing, I stand on the draft. I'm a winner also in the movement that I follow for my people. The only leader is Elijah Muhammad, who we believe was taught by Allah, God, himself. The so-called American Negroes, the truth has been hidden from them for 400 years. It will free them.
Why is it, do you think, that the black Muslims preach the separation of the races rather than integration of the races, as many American blacks do?
Well, we say separation. We, as of now, we always have to be trained with one another, living with one another. But when we say separate, we mean mainly mentally, as far as do for yourself, help self, clean your own neighborhood and make that a better place to live. Quit forcing in white neighborhoods. Respect your women, our food and resources, education, and quality, self-dependence. And this is what we mainly teach about the separation. One day, we believe that black people should trade with one another. We've had it for 400 years. And we've been kicked and shot and brutalized. You read about the news for years, and it's not working. So we have a problem in Ireland. A lot have been dominated by certain groups. A lot have been ruled, and they're men, and they want to dupe themselves. Same way in all countries. People are just tired, and they're revolutionary and things. And they want to be free. We've been in America under white domination. Men killed, raped, castrated, shot down daily. No one in the court. Deprived of freedom, justice, and equality. And we just now want to be free. And we can't do it. We have found out that black and white are disagreeable in peace. They can't get along together. So we think we should just now quit fighting. Quit fighting. We're doctors. Now that we're lawyers. Now that we're mechanics. Now that we're not needing thick cotton no more. We got millions of people born every day in the hospital. We think that we should have land, build, and construct and do prosperity.
You mean the next profession should be separate from the United States,
right?
Only for Negroes and separate from white.
Well, the only Elijah Muhammad teaches us is we've been there 400 years fighting the Japanese, we fought the Germans, we fought the Koreans. If America went to war with Ireland tomorrow, the black people would shoot so fast. All the black people would be right here shooting with the American flag. And we believe that since we've been America's enemies, not our enemies, work 4 years, 6 hours a day from sundown without a payday, then we should now be repaid. Don't give us nothing and give us or repay us. We got 56, then we make our 10% of the population, then divide off 10% of the land, let us build our own stores, make our own food, make our own soup, and be like other people. Not only white for houses, begging for jobs, begging for seat in your restaurant, may I use your toilet, may I run on the bus, that I'm grown and educated, I'm no longer sleep, and we can't get along, just let me go and live by myself like other people. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Others, of course, don't believe in war. You certainly don't believe in war. You've demonstrated that by refusing to join the American army. But you have said on one occasion, possibly you could believe in a holy war.
Well, the Holy Quran, our religious book, teaches us that we who declare ourselves to be righteous Muslims do not take no part in wars, no way, fashion, or form, and take the lives of humans, but unless it's a holy war declared by God or Allah himself. And like this hasn't happened, and if it do happen, then we'll have a way of knowing, because our religious leaders speak out. But we don't take no part in war, not just the Vietnam War, but no war.
But would you fight in such holy war of this sort? I mean, how would you know that you should fight?
That's what I'm trying to say. Then while we have a leader who will speak, like all countries' leaders, we have a leader. And like if we attack, you're right, we need to fight if we are attacked, but not in the us.
You go to South Africa very soon, Fox. Do you believe in the sort of separation of the races that they have in South Africa? What they call
not apartheid? From what I hear. I hear unequal. We believe in an equal separation. We are only fighting South Africa under the condition that the audience not coming to change their policies, not coming to talk about it. We've just been invited. We might not still, but we don't know. The audience have to be separate. Black side has got to be equal to the white side and convenient. We'll fight on those conditions.
But how would you feel if you go to that and go to go into like that restaurant, if you should perhaps want to, and were refused it? Wouldn't this take you back to the old sort of Louisville situation?
No, I mean, if a man didn't want me in his place, I'd just leave. I wouldn't want nobody to force himself to leave. And I wouldn't be looking for no trouble like that. I believe I'm the greatest. I don't be with somebody that's messed with me. They should want to be with me.
Elijah Muhammad has said something which perhaps white people have misunderstood. Perhaps you can explain it to me. He said that white men are devils.
Yes,
what does he mean by that?
He means just what he says. The deeds and the works of the man. He says the American devil. The lynching, the killing, cut the black people. Private out, sticking in the mouth. This is what they did to us. Got a book called 100 Years of Lynching written by white men. Taking black women who were 4 months pregnant, they took us for years and hung us up with the feet and stuck a dagger in the stomach and ripped it and pulled the unborn baby out. This is the spirit lady. They tied up black people to horses and two horses and pulled his arms out and pulled his legs out. Were lemonade trains of white children and white people of America used to come and watch them. Tennessee black men pull burn them, watch trees and shot us with bullets. They took a cut of ham off, gave it to the little boy and cut the leg off. And this is worse than the devil. The church taught us the devil was put down.
Right.
And he died before he burned us up. This white devil in America was worse because he burned us while we was alive. He what I'm trying to say is the deeds and the works. And I feel if Elijah Muhammad can stand in America for 42 years before my little black devil was born and say that the American white man is the devil, then the white man should get up and say you are a lie and carry him to court. You're not the devil, not America, not one government official, one mayor, one senator. None of them will stand up and say that they are not devils and this man is. So what am I to do?
I mean, Angelo Dundee.
Angelo Dundee's black. He's got a lot of black blood in
him.
Harold Conrad too. No, listen. I'm saying to you is this. What I'm saying to you is this. I'm saying that Elijah Muhammad, our leader, teaches us this. And I believe everything he says. So it's not you must remember, you have not lynched me. It wasn't the Germans that did this to us. It wasn't the white Canadians who's right on our border. He put emphasis on the American devil in America who has proved that he means right. Let's say we got another one. White people have died in demonstrating black people. Now, here's the position I'm in. There's 10,000 whites coming to kill me. And in those 10,000, or let's say here's 10,000 rattlesnakes coming to bite me. And in those 10,000, 1,000 that didn't know. And I knew there was, but they all look alike. Now, what should I do? Let the door open and let the 10,000 in, hoping that the 1,000 will unite and one bite of killing me. Or should I just be safe and shut the door? So we have white people talking right. I have a black husband. Oh, my children are black. I love everybody. I really believe you. But I'm sorry. There's 10 more thousand behind you that don't feel that way. I'm just sorry. But what am I going to do? I know I've set my hand up right now, but the white to me, right, is powered in this race. But there's so few. Until it don't really matter, until I can't forget all those men living, all the tribes, and all the people. When America dropped bombs on Vietnam, she drops them.
Okay.
Babies, boys, dropped the bomb on Japan, she dropped it. They don't say some innocent, they just walk over and fell and leave them. They don't say, well, if a kid is innocent in here, there's a hole here, she's blind. They just boom, no bomb. What I'm saying, not culture. We have a couple, black, white, and maybe. Right, but the so many, we have to look at the door. I'm playing. I know they're white to me.
Yourself have some little white blood in you.
Yeah, what is it?
You totally Negro.
Black?
Yes.
Well, nobody is really totally. The Chinese are yellow, they say, but they're not really yellow. You, they say, you white. Give me something white. You don't look white. Here's white.
Right.
So I'm not black, but I'm considered black. But as far as the blood is concerned, some people say you talk so bad about America. You have then you. How did I get?
But you know,
way back 100 and something years ago, old slave master's wife used to get tired, and he would sleep back in old granny's shack. And old granny had big hips, pretty, and big breasts, and big legs. She was. She went all day to clean up the house, and the old black lady was tired and weak. The old black slave was back in our household. Back at night.
I could guess
you can guess what he would do. And then here come me, half black.